Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Friday, July 22nd, 2016. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrer. Here are the headlines. Hotelier and political activist says local hoteliers are not interested in expanding rooms at their hotels currently. US slaps down another regional PM. And US election, Donald Trump promises a safer America. The news is brought to you, compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprise and Ago Cement. The details of these and more stories after this.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Behind the construction of our house, there is the tireless optimism of my husband.
Behind the construction of this bridge are the problem solvers that make it possible.
Behind the design of every great building, there is a facilitator to make it happen.
Behind every builder of the future are the people that believe in him.
In Argos Cement, we believe in the people that build values, because those who give green light to their goals are the ones that make them come true. Argos Cement, green light for Dominica.
Welcome back in news this morning. Hotelier Atherton Mate says he was in amazement at hoteliers who, in a recent meeting with the Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, pointed out that they are not too interested in expanding the rooms at their hotels currently. Mr. Mate noted that the hoteliers listed three major factors that they would like addressed, and if these issues are resolved within the tourism sector, then a major boost in visitors will occur, which will then justify expansion of rooms and hotels in general, as well as increased staffing. Recently, the government said it would provide financial assistance to hoteliers in Dominica for renovation works on the rooms at their hotels. A meeting was held between government officials and hoteliers in that regard.
The government had an objective. The objective was to expand the number of rooms. They had a plan, and that plan was to make money available at a low interest rate. And in their view, that it's just now up to the local hoteliers to take up that offer and go ahead and expand. But what was really interesting, I heard hoteliers say that they were not interested in so much expanding the number of rooms, so much as improving the quality of their existing rooms. Why? Because one or two of the hoteliers did remark, given the number of rooms that we have right now that we are not able to fill, why would we want to expand the number of rooms as opposed to trying to improve the quality of the rooms that we have here, so that in fact we can offer a better experience to the people who do come? How come you want to increase the number of rooms, but we're still having an access problem to Dominica? People cannot get to Dominica. Where is that piece of the puzzle? Other hoteliers raise the issue of, even if the people got here, the roads are in such a terrible condition, they probably wouldn't want to come to my place, etc. So I raise and I share that with you because it shows that it's not just rooms. It's rooms, it's air access, it's sea access, it's road conditions. And so the hoteliers were making the point that, look, maybe the plans that you have and the vision that you have for a strategy to improve tourism is incomplete.
And you've just heard statements from Dominican hotelier Mr. Atherton Mate. Now, Dominican band Breathe was recently featured in the Canadian-based Caribbean travel and lifestyle magazine Jumag. The band was formed in 2012 by jazz gospel bassist Gomez Drygo, and the Caribbean soul fusion drummer and composer, Mr. Kenrick Lawrence, shortly after award-winning saxophonist Josie Pavola was recruited, he was distinguished as a Finnish wind instrument guru. Josie and Gomez's love for jazz, along with Kenrick's proficiency in Caribbean polyrhythms and soul fusion, melded together, forming an extremely unique sound. In 2013, guitar genius Maxim Smith joined the band, followed by Jade Leatham, lead singer and songwriter. Brief has recorded in the past and is now recording original music. Releases include singles like Runaway, as well as Way O, Leve, Encore, My Island, Leve, Dance, and the crowd favorite Party Weekend. A few soon to be released Brief hits. The band will also be performing at the 2016 World Creole Music Festival in Dominica. In more news this morning, Senior Counsel Anthony Astafan responds to statements made by Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine expressing fears that Dominica will be driven into complete economic failure. Mr. Astafan once again accused the UWP of being the reason for Dominica facing near bankruptcy during their reign through reckless borrowing. He says the Skerrit-led administration carefully considers every decision in advance, which has enabled the government to avoid the consequences of severe debt.
Thompson says that if measures are not being put in place, we're going to go back there again. The reason why Dominica was on the verge of collapse is because the party that he now is in bankrupted the country through reckless borrowings from commercial loans. They had dried out the money from Domlec and Cable and Wireless. They borrowed money at 14%. They were treasury bonds 2x2. They were loans 2x2. They couldn't pay Social Security. They couldn't pay back Royal Bank. They couldn't pay LPOs. They couldn't pay the private sector. They couldn't pay anybody. There wasn't even toilet paper in the government headquarters. So their reckless borrowings to execute a fraudulent project called the airport to benefit Edison James personally was the cause of the crisis and the collapse.
Senior Counsel Anthony Astafan. Now, economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine challenges the DLP government to explain why there has not been a full report on sales of passports from the Citizenship by Investment Program, which was implemented by the DLP government. Here is Dr. Fontaine with more details.
I'm still questioning those numbers. I still feel those numbers are low. And the reason why I say they're low is because we know that up to 2009-10, we're getting on average about $50 million from the pure sale of passports. Mm-hmm. Because bear in mind, there are two programs. You have the CIP, Citizenship by Investment Program, where investors, you contribute toward a particular investment. The investor contributes about $220,000, and the government gets $50,000 from each investor. Then you have the Economic Citizenship Program, where you just sold the passports for $100,000. So up to 2010, 2011, 2012, we're getting an average of $50 million. The CIP came on board in late 2014. So for the whole of 2015, according to numbers we got from Mr. Nanta, we had about roughly 800 people who purchased Dominica passports during that year, during that single year, 2015-2016. And from these 800,000 people, that gives us on average about $100 million that we should get just from this sale. But what happened to the extra $50 million that we were getting before? Have people stopped buying passports this way and they only now focus on the program?
That was economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In more news this morning, opposition leader Lennox Linton believes that the government has been under-reporting the profits of the Citizenship by Investment program for some time now, as he describes the growth in revenue reported by the upcoming budget as astounding. He says that for such growth, there must have been some changes in the government's approach to the program, or else the government has underreported the program's profit over the last few years.
I find this growth in revenue from citizenship to be astounding in the past couple of years. So that I'm wondering, well, what is it they know now and they're telling us that they didn't know and tell us before? Because people have to understand, there has never been a time in Roosevelt's Skerrit's hold on the prime ministership since 2004 when economic citizenship revenue and economic citizenship programs have not been available for him to help him run the affairs of government. All of a sudden, when the evidence becomes clear that the rest of the world is not really listening to us in terms of the mastery that Roosevelt's carried claimed with going around and talking to people and having friends here and there that will give him this and give him that, all of a sudden, we are plugging numbers into the budget at the rate of $200 million from the sale of passports per year. Where was that money last year? Where was it the year before? I'm saying we were underreporting. And there's a reason why we were underreporting. We have to get to the bottom of this.
And that was opposition leader Lennox Linton. In more news this morning, according to Caribbean News Now, for the second time in 2 weeks, the U.S. Embassy in Bridgetown has explicitly refuted as untrue claims by regional prime ministers in relation to the deportation of criminals back to their respective countries of origin. In the latest press statement on Wednesday, the embassy rejected assertions by St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister Dr. Ralph Gonsalves that the United States does not provide regional governments with full information regarding criminal deportees. The problem is that when they deport them, they don't give us their full particulars. What are the antecedents? What are the details of the crime for which they were sentenced and then deported? What is their record so that we can do a better job of reincorporating them into society, Gonsalves claimed recently. However, according to the U.S. Embassy, the United States government only deports convicted criminals back to their country of origin in consultation with that country's government. Now, Donald Trump has vowed to tackle multiple threats facing the U.S. in his speech in Cleveland, Ohio, accepting the Republican presidential nomination. "The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon come to an end," he told the party convention. The businessman promised his presidency would usher in a new era, putting America and ordinary people first. Mr. Trump's nomination has been clouded by the refusal of major party figures like Senator Ted Cruz to endorse him. Mr. Cruz, who was his bitter rival during the primary contests, was booed off the stage by Trump supporters. Other Trump opponents, such as members of the Bush family, stayed away from the convention altogether. Mr. Trump, a New York businessman who was written off when he launched his campaign a year ago, said he hoped his speech would ease tensions and unite the Republican Party. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of our headlines. Hoteliers says local hoteliers are not interested in expanding rooms at their hotels currently. U.S. slaps down another regional prime minister. And U.S. election, Donald Trump promises a safer America. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprise and Ago Cement. If you've missed any of our newscasts, log on to our website. It's www.q95da.com to view the stories, or you can click on the podcast icon and you'll be able to listen to the various packages. Also, for any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message to 615-1426 or 276-2147. And on behalf of the entire news team here at Q95 FM Radio, I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell, wishing you a very pleasant morning.